Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteous and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, and a day acceptable to God, to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of the wickedness, and to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And turning over to Mark chapter 2, reading verse 23 through chapter 3 verse 6. This is entitled, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So far our readings.
Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're thankful for your word of truth. We pray that you would guide us as we consider your word this morning, that we might recognize the work of Jesus, how he restores the holy rest of the Sabbath. For our fellowship with you, for our trust in you, that we might in this way as well rejoice in this day that you have provided for us. Help us with the presence of your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, we return to our series in Mark here. And I think it's beautiful how Mark has tied together this ministry of Jesus and how beautifully it fulfills what the prophets had said. Remember in Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And often we look at Jesus' fulfillment of the law, and that's glorious in and of itself. But he also fulfills the prophets. And Jesus is the focus of this prophetic word in Isaiah 58. And when we considered what Jesus teaches on fasting, just in the preceding section in Mark, we see how Jesus beautifully shows us the character of fasting. That our fasting has to have a Christian purpose, to share with those who are in need, to sacrifice on behalf of those who are oppressed. Well, this morning, like Isaiah 58 moves just from fasting right to the Sabbath, Mark includes this instruction after Jesus' teaching on fasting with his teaching on the Sabbath. The Sabbath as designed by God, not as abused by man. What is the idea of the Sabbath? It's not the name of a day like we speak of Sunday today. It's actually biblically a principle. It's the identifying of a principle. That it has the name Sabbath is not designated as a day. It's defining and desiring for us to see a principle. And with this principle, there's two key ideas. One of the principles is that the Sabbath is a day of rest. The purpose of rest in the Old Testament and in the Bible is not just relaxation. That's what we associate rest with, just taking it easy, not being involved or engaged in anything. In the Bible, the rest that's identified is a refreshing fellowship with God. Remember, this is what happened in the origin of creation, that God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Jesus tells us elsewhere that resting was not a rest of inactivity, not a rest of just taking a nap, as we often associate rest to be. God's rest was a stopping of creation activity, excuse me, resting from creation activity to enjoy and to commune and to allow his creation an opportunity to commune with him, to enjoy their creator. Isaiah 58 tells us that it's an opportunity to call the Sabbath a delight and to pursue the Lord's pleasure. A day to enjoy him, striving to have our souls satisfied in God. So that's one principle. The Old Testament principle, you see this associated not only with the weekly Sabbath, but with various feasts, there would be Sabbaths as well. And interesting, in some of those feasts, there would even be an eighth day Sabbath, a Sabbath on the eighth day, which of course we would know to be the first day of the week, anticipating what I would suggest is the New Testament practice of having the Lord's Day on the first day of the week in reflection of Christ's resurrection. So there's a principle of rest, but there's also another principle, and that is the principle of holiness. Holiness. God's word is very clear. We're to keep the day holy. It's to be a sacred day. Holy signifies that there needs to be something sacred in your life, something special. And now we all have special things. How do we identify what is sacred? I think for us, just in a general understanding, what is sacred is that which we will sacrifice ourselves for. Anything that you devote yourselves to is what you regard as sacred in your life. Whether it's your time or your money or your energy, as you pour yourself into that, you're sacrificing yourself, and that's what you regard ultimately as sacred. Now the Lord says, keep this day holy because I am holy. And what's fascinating is the promise that he associates with this Sabbath, with this principle of holiness, that we're to keep the day holy because in Exodus 31 verse 13, he says, you need to have regard to holiness and my holiness particularly because I, the Lord, sanctify you. Now you see how beautifully these fit together, holiness and rest. Holiness and rest. Rest is an opportunity to be refreshed with God. Well, to be refreshed with God, we need to have concern for his holiness, concern for what's sacred. But now, just as soon as we say that, we recognize we're not holy, and we need God's grace. And God has promised, when you set this day apart to focus on me and to understand my holiness, I, the Lord, your covenant God, sanctify you. I will make you sacred. I will show you what's significant. So that's the principle, the two key ideas, rest and holiness, that are involved in the Sabbath. Now Jesus comes, and just as he fulfills the fasting, and shows us the way of fasting to approach our practices with a focus on him, so he calls us, as the Lord of the Sabbath, he comes to restore holy rest. Holy rest. Now, how does he do this? God's word is revealing that to us this morning in these instances that Jesus is engaged in. And there's three things that I would like us to see how the Lord of the Sabbath restores holy rest to his people. First of all, the blessing. Secondly, the design. And thirdly, the goal. The blessing, the design, and the goal. So let's consider then God's word, the blessing. In the center of this account, right in verses 27 and 28, Jesus makes an astounding claim, which is central to our understanding of what he desires for the Sabbath. And listen to what he says. He says in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So, for this reason, thus, in this way, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man, a title that he doesn't use frequently, but he does use occasionally. And remember, the Gospel of Mark is designed to show us. Mark is writing because he wants us to appreciate who Jesus is as God and man. What Mark has been telling us all along is that Jesus is God coming to man, and that is the celebration of what Jesus has come to do. And this is the celebration, this is the recognition, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, this God and man has come as Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of the Sabbath. What Jesus is asserting here is that he is over the Sabbath. He takes precedence. He has greater purpose. We have a greater calling to recognize him above and beyond the Sabbath. He is Lord. And notice he uses even that insertion, even of the Sabbath. And it's that last claim. The Son of Man, Jesus, God with us, is Lord of the Sabbath. It's this last claim that he is Lord of the Sabbath, which is so important for our understanding this contest with the Pharisees in the grain field and in the synagogue. Because you see, the problem with the Pharisees and what had happened with the Pharisees is they had disconnected the Sabbath from the God who gave the Sabbath. For them, maintaining the law of the Sabbath was more important than maintaining the relationship with the God who gave this day. And there is always this danger in the law, that we make it an end in itself, that disconnects what God says in the Ten Commandments from the prologue that he gave. Why do we have the Ten Commandments that we shall have no other gods before him, that we worship him as he's called us to worship, not worshiping, bowing down to graven images, not taking his name in vain, keeping the Sabbath day holy, honoring father and mother? It flows from what God has revealed in the prologue, because I am the Lord your God who delivers you from bondage. I set you free from slavery, not to be slaves of the law, but to be servants of me, to find life and grace and wholeness and restoration in me. But the Pharisees had disconnected, they'd separated the Sabbath from the God who gave the Sabbath. Boys and girls, what am I getting at here? Think about it this way. Your mom and dad, they want you to brush your teeth before you go to bed. And so let's suppose that you brush your teeth, and before you've had your bedtime ritual, whatever it is, of getting your pajamas on and so on and so forth, you've taken some lollies from the pantry and you've snuck them under your pillow. And you've brushed your teeth like mom and dad ask you, and then you go and lay down, and after the lights are out, you take those lollies out and you start to eat them. But then mom and dad come back and they're really upset with you. And you would say, oh, but I brushed my teeth. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The purpose of brushing your teeth is to clean them so you don't get cavities. And then to eat lollies afterwards, well, that just destroys the whole purpose. And that's what the Pharisees had done. They have so many rules about the Sabbath day. It's interesting. You can read some of those rules. If you can untie a knot with one hand, you're not working. But if it takes two hands to untie the knot, you're working. What a ridiculous rule. But that's what happened. They fixated on this day, and they fixated particularly on work. And they said, well, what degree of activity is work and what degree of activity isn't work? And how can we figure this out? And what they had done is they'd separated this law and they missed the purpose of the Sabbath. And so when the disciples and Jesus are walking through the grain field, they question and accuse Jesus. Your disciples seem to be working because they've gone that extra degree and they've picked from the grain fields. They surely could have gone hungry. And Jesus warns them, and he warns us. He says, you're missing the blessings because I am Lord. And you Pharisees, you people who think by extraction of the law from the God who gives it, that by ramping up your what you do or what you don't do on this day, you miss the Lord. And Jesus says, I am Lord even of the Sabbath. He claims his lordship, his dominion, his authority above even one of their most cherished laws. Because this was one of their cherished laws. And he says, I'm the Lord of that. God's law. And how cherished this law was among them and is to be amongst God's people. The reading of the Ten Commandments, this is one of those commandments where God changes the reasons why he wants us to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Because it's a creation ordinance in Exodus chapter 20. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh he rested. Because he wants us to share that rest that he enjoys. But in Deuteronomy 5, which we read this morning, there's a different reason. There's a different reason that God gives why we need to observe the Sabbath day. And that's because we were slaves to sin. And like God set Israel free from Egypt, so he sets us free. So we need to be diligent. Reasons that celebrate creation and redemption show us the lordship of God. The blessing of rest and holiness can't be cut off or severed from the purpose that God has given to us, for us to recognize and to see Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath. For us to pursue rest and holiness in fellowship with our Savior. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. But secondly, we need to consider God's design. And that's what Jesus says when he says Sabbath was made for man. It's the gift of a loving, benevolent, gracious, and glorious God. And Jesus addresses God's design for the Sabbath in two different ways. One with the story of David with the high priest and eating the consecrated bread. Now, the high priest is identified as Abiathar. Actually, if you look in the Old Testament story, there's a different high priest whose name, probably because it's identified with Abiathar, was the high priest who David appointed, and it's associated with his reign just to identify the story of what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus uses this story, but he also uses the healing of the man to help us to understand God's design for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. And so he starts with the story of David. David, you recall, was fleeing from Saul's murderous threats. Saul wanted to kill him. At this point, David had already been anointed as a king by Samuel, and so he knew that he had the Lord's favor upon him. And the Lord actually allowed David and his men to eat the holy bread. Notice how Jesus emphasizes this is something that was not lawful for David and his men to do. He broke the law. He broke God's law. And God, the Lord, allowed that. He allowed David and his men to eat the holy bread without judgment. Why? I think one reason why was because David was God's anointed servant. And this was the means that God had established for how he would preserve him. Not because God's law is arbitrary, but because God's favors his anointed. And Jesus says, this is a reason why the disciples and what they're doing as they're walking through the grain fields is permissible. Because were they plucking the heads simply to fill their bellies? Or were they engaged in a holy, gracious activity so that when they're hungry and they need to be following Jesus as Jesus has called them to do, and they're not able to listen, and they fill their bellies, not just to be satisfied, but in order to follow their Savior, they actually teach us about the reason of the Sabbath. They need to be with the Lord of the Sabbath. And that's part of the principle of rest. To be refreshed in fellowship with their God. Work indeed is prohibited on the Sabbath day by God's law. But the disciples plucking grain had a different purpose, a different design, a different accomplishment. It was to sustain them, precisely as God had designed the Sabbath, to sustain them in their fellowship and their following of Jesus, their Lord and the Sabbath's Lord. Now just think about that for a moment. In an always-on digital world, it's so tempting to just use this day for our own purposes. But I would suggest the way to use the Sabbath as God has designed it is for us to disconnect ourselves, but not as a means in and of itself. Not to say, oh, I've kept the Sabbath because I haven't gone on my digital devices. No. But disconnect yourself so that you can reconnect with God. What do you, and so when you think about the Sabbath and God's design for the Sabbath and the Sabbath that he has given to you as a man and the lordship that he exercises over the Sabbath, the question is not what can you do, what can't you do, and identify a list there and just keep that list sacred. No. Sabbath was made for you to connect with God. What do you need to do as part of God's design to stay connected with him? To develop your rest in him. Sabbath was made for you to reconnect with the God of all grace and all glory. What do you have to do? Or what do you have to give up to enhance your connection? That's God's design. God's design for rest. But then there's this instance of the man with a withered hand. And God reveals what is underlying the Pharisaic concern of whether Jesus is going to heal this man or not. They object because they are opposed to Jesus. They don't ask anything. They don't say anything. They're absolutely silent. And yet Jesus knows the thoughts and intents of their heart. And he uses this as a lesson to address the danger, the hardness of their heart. And when they don't even respond to Jesus, when they remain silent, he looks around with them and the anger flares up and he's grieved. Notice his anger doesn't turn to hatred, it turns to grief. He's sorry that their hearts are so hard. But they're there on the sidelines and they're watching and they see this man come into the synagogue with a withered hand. And they watch, what's he going to do, because they want to accuse them. And Jesus knows their intentions and asks the question about the Sabbath. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? And he asks this question about the Sabbath, and I would suggest that this question is a question about the principle of holiness. Holiness. Remember, the sacred is that which you sacrifice yourself for. Holiness is what is your supreme good. What is the highest good that you have in life? What is the thing that you will sacrifice everything to pursue? Is that God? God is good. And he has given the Sabbath as a way to show us his goodness. How? How does this incident show us the holiness of God as he reminds us what is lawful on the Sabbath to do? It's to pursue the holiness of God, that which is sacred, that which is the supreme good, and that supreme good is our God, and to show his redemption. Because here a man comes with a withered hand that shows the effects of sin. And Jesus, ever the Redeemer from sin, has come to overcome sin with his good word. And without touching this man, he speaks. And the man is restored. By the power of this word, by the power of his word, he heals the effects of sin. And that is the principle of holiness, isn't it? That by the power of God's word, that word made flesh, that word which makes whole, that word of grace which we hear, that is the principle of holiness. To overcome the effects of sin with the power of his word. You see, people of God, holiness is not about your ability to perform. Because you can't and you won't. But holiness is a realization of your dependence on God in the fullness of his grace in Christ Jesus to overcome and to undo all those withering effects of sin. And we need the Sabbath to learn weekly, our reliance on God. That daily. And the works we do and the works that we don't do. We depend on his goodness and his grace and his holiness and his power, his character to accomplish anything. You see, there is a sense in which every one of us works with withered hands. With withered hands. And you hear the glorious promise of God that he gives to us in Isaiah 58. If you call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day honorable to the Lord, if you honor it, not seeking your own pleasure, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and he who is the restorer of you who work with withered hands, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with a heritage of Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God says, I will do what you can't. Forget about your key performance indicators. Because that's not the measure of your life and that's not the measure of your output. It is the holiness of God and the grace shown in what he has done for you. I am the one who by the power of my word overcomes your sin, your inadequacies, your weakness. Trust me. Rely upon me. I will prosper you. And that's God's design. Fellowship and holiness restored by the Lord of the Sabbath. And thirdly, the goal. What does God want on the Sabbath? Athanasius said it well in his commentary. I don't know where that commentary is. I saw it in another commentary, but I thought it was an amazing quote. Jesus deals here in this instance with withered hands and withered minds. Withered minds. What is the issue with this Sabbath confrontation? I think we can push what Athanasius says just a little bit. It's not just withered hands, it's withered hearts. Hearts that are hard. Hearts that are deformed, distorted, disabled by sin. And we need Sabbath. Not because the day is so special, but because the God who gives it is. It's an issue of the heart. Jesus knows that we can make a pretense of the Sabbath. We can pretend and play games. He knows we do that when we forget or ignore his blessing, his design, and his goal. And he calls you and me as sinners this morning. And he says, what do you want? What do you want on the Sabbath? What do you want? The rest of fellowship with me, the Lord of the Sabbath. Seek me with all your hearts. He's healing our hearts this morning with his word, which works graciously and powerfully by the operation of the Holy Spirit. He calls us as sinners, enjoy fellowship with me. What will it take for you to enjoy that fellowship? He calls us as sinners. What do you want on the Sabbath? The holiness of communion with the triune God. Commit yourself to me. Let this day be a commitment to your God, that you trust him, that you look for him to accomplish what you can't. And you know what he says, Exodus 31, verse 13, I will sanctify you. I will make you holy. But not only is he offering us this way of life, this way of grace, this way of truth, he's also warning, beware, beware, beware what happens when you forget God. The God who created you, who spoke and everything came into existence, who works by the power of his word, who provides and sustains and orders and orchestrates everything that happens in this universe by his providence. God who created you, and the God who redeemed you, and the God who blessed you with a Sabbath. Beware what happens when you forget him. Your pretense will be exposed. Mark records the effects of Jesus' call for proper Sabbath observance under the Lord of the Sabbath. What happens? He shows it with the hearts of the Pharisees. The hearts of the Pharisees. They joined up with the Herodians. If ever there were two incompatible people, it was the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Herodians were followers of King Herod. King Herod was a Roman. King Herod was the ungodly ruler of Judea at this time. He was the one who was imposed by the Roman emperor to rule over them. And Herodians were his followers. They were those who were committed to the pagan ways. And think about that. These were people who were lawless, who were pagan, who were unbelievers, Gentiles. There couldn't be anything more extreme. And you have the Pharisees who think they're zealous for the Lord, for the law. They're zealous for the law. And what happens when Jesus exposes their unbelief? The legalists and the lawless one find a common allegiance in opposition to the Lord of the Sabbath. And in that way, God exposes how withered their hearts and our hearts can be. The Lord of the Sabbath restores holy rest. The blessing. Who is your Lord of the Sabbath? What is his design? To provide for your need and to bless you with good. And what is the goal? To restore your withered hearts with believing engagement as the bride of Christ to the bridegroom. Amen.